The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into the Wednesday edition of The Drive here on ESPN 106.7. I am not Bill Cameron. I'm not Dan Peck. I am Jacob Goins, though, however. And filling in for an undisclosed amount of time on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill Cameron making his way over here, lickety-split. He was at the Alex Golish media availability for Auburn football today, so he is on his way as we speak. But we appreciate you being with us on this Wednesday. This is The Drive here on ESPN 106.7. Again, my name is Jacob Goins. I host On the Line, the show that is on right before this with my friend Christian Griffin. We're on 2-4, The Drive on 4-6. So, again, just getting the show started, waiting for Bill Cameron to get back here from the media availability earlier today. We got Coach Dunn in the studio, though. What's happening, Coach? How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, buddy. Enjoying this weather. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's like 20 windy. Degrees warmer.
Yeah, but it's going to get cold again, so that's the bad thing. But yeah, it is winter. We got to remember
that's
that.
That's true. And, look, I like the cold. I
like the change of seasons. I like the four seasons.
Yeah, we don't normally get those down here.
No, it's either summer or winter.
Yeah, which is miserable.
But us being up northern, Ohio and Kentucky boys,
that's right.
We've had some bad weather up that way. I'm sure your family has too. Yeah, but today, National Signing Day, it's really changed.
Most people don't even know it is National Signing Day, Coach.
I was talking with my wife this morning. This used to be the day. Boy, you'd get up early. Our staff would always meet at Byron's about 5:45 in the morning.
Love it.
Have a staff breakfast, some local guys, coaches. Boosters would show up.
Yeah.
Then we'd run over to the office and wait on the fax to come through.
The fax.
And pray that it came through. And we usually had two or three machines in case one of them broke.
There was a backup.
There always was going to be one that didn't work.
Yeah, that's fair.
And you didn't want to be that guy that you're waiting on that top kid and coach is saying, "All right, Don, where's the daggone fax?" Well, it's coming.
Yeah. It's coming, I swear.
And some of them didn't come. Yeah. I've been on those ends, too.
Oh, I can only imagine. Yeah, back in the day, National Signing Day was the day. It was everything. I remember even when I was growing up, we would watch it in school. We'd have our computers and our phones or whatever. We love watching National Signing Day to see where Auburn ended up and could you get a big flip. I remember Byron Cowart was a big one when I was going through school, but the number one player in the class. I mean, and now Auburn signed, I think, one guy today.
A
kicker, a punter from Australia, officially on signing day.
That's crazy,
because everybody else is early enrollees and signees and things.
And the portal and all the things that have changed. Those were exciting times. And when we were at Ole Miss, it was pretty cool. About 2 o'clock in the afternoon after signing, Coach Tubb always gave us a couple days off. We had like Thursday and Friday off.
Okay.
Because you couldn't do anything, really.
Right, yeah.
So we would get – he would rent limos and take the staff and their wives over to Tunica
for a
big steak dinner.
Oh, yeah, Tunica.
Tunica, Mississippi.
Love it. Yeah, it's a casino.
We'd stay over there a couple of hours and come back, but that was fun. But, yeah, it's changed.
It's changed so much,
And I don't know if it's good or bad. I'm old school, of course. I love the old stuff. Excitement, and when that fax came in, you put their picture and their, their little tag up on the board, and everybody cheer and everybody get excited. But
someone texted me and said the good old days, Coach.
That's right.
That's what they said, the good old days. Well, hey, again, we appreciate everybody tuning in here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Bill Cameron will be here in just a little bit. I believe Dan is out today, but Coach Dunn is in. I will be here until Bill gets here. Again, he is on his way back from the media availability with head coach Alex Golish for Auburn football. We were reading some of the comments during my show, Coach, about what he had to say. I know it'll be discussed here on the show, plus some college basketball, ongoing situation mentioned with Charles Bediako at Alabama,
wow.
who is still playing, who yeah. will suit up tonight against Texas A&M.
And probably play Saturday.
Yep, and if things go the way they ask for it, it will play Saturday against Auburn as well.
Did you see the football coach at Florida saying they were going to try to get Tebow some eligibility?
No, I didn't see
that
him say
funny.
That.
That's
that
was
so
funny.
Awesome. I did
well,
see
Well, now
him.
They got the thing at Tennessee going on. Right, with the quarterback.
Oh, yes, Joey Aguilar. Yes,
good
we said
Lord.
That we talked about that
yeah,
at the end
I
of
did.
Our show.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah, and yeah, he's trying to get another year to where, yeah, if the season started right now, he'd be eligible to play.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so
things
broken
have
stuff.
Changed, buddy.
They have changed big time. And so phone lines are open if you want to be a part of the Wednesday edition of The Drive. They're open at 334-321-1390. That's The Drive hotline brought to you by Skybar. You can be a part of the show, 334-321-1390. Anything on your mind, National Signing Day or comments from head coach Alex Golish or college basketball, transfer portal, anything on your mind, we'd love to hear from you here in the opening minutes of the Wednesday edition of The Drive.
Yeah, hard to believe. Also, we haven't mentioned, I know you guys talked a little bit about it in your shows this week, baseball. 10
yeah.
days away.
How about that? Opening weekend yeah. next weekend yeah. for college baseball. Yeah. Auburn has Youngstown State coming yep. into Plainsman Park. As of right now, the first pitch times had not been released. I
right.
haven't looked today, but
they're probably waiting to see how the weather
I would
be.
Have think so. Yeah. Yeah. Very excited for Auburn yeah. baseball, Coach. I know you know this. There's
yeah.
a lot of hype around that program
yes,
right now.
A lot of hype, a lot of excitement. Got a lot of good players coming back.
Mm-hmm.
A beautiful, beautiful stadium with the renovations last year. Just a great deal for Auburn, the city of Auburn, the university. It's a fun time to go out there and watch baseball.
Yeah, so that'll
and
be
they're
getting,
good, and that helps when you got a good team.
That definitely helps. Where they'll be getting started next week. Of course, those radio broadcasts here locally in Auburn Opelika over on Wings 94.3, so you can catch those all season long on the Auburn Sports Network.
Off the subject a little bit, but not really. When does Auburn High baseball start?
That's a great question. Auburn High softball begins on the 17th. Auburn High baseball actually begins about halfway through the month of February.
Okay.
Our first broadcast on the Auburn High Sports Network is going to be late February, February 24th or 5th,
okay.
somewhere in there. They're starting the year with a tournament in Florida.
Wow.
They'll come back for their home opener, so then we'll be on
okay.
the air for
good,
that. So
good.
We're in the middle of –
always enjoy listening.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We just wrapped up regular season basketball for Auburn High.
Yep.
Had our final broadcast of the regular season last night. Area tournament coming up next week for
wow.
the girls and the boys. So postseason play is here.
Unbelievable.
Then we roll right into baseball
yeah.
season. So
busy
yeah.
times.
Busy time for sure. Again, with National Signing Day, I was able to go over to Auburn High School this morning. Told you we had 34 total
that
kids sign.
Great.
Across 9 or 10 different sports.
Yeah.
And Coach, we got kids with esports now. Think about that. Esports, video games signing college.
Get out of here.
I'm telling you, I promise. They're good now. They're good.
Oh, boy, I'm
but
old.
College scholarships
so old.
To compete in Mario Kart
well,
and all this stuff.
I wish I had that
stuff.
When my son was, because he was the best.
Man, you didn't want to pay for college, did
no,
you, Coach?
No, I went in there some nights, and he'd be talking to some guy in Germany or something playing these games. I didn't even know how to turn it on. Still don't.
Yeah. Well, yeah, Auburn High had 34 kids today across several different sports. Lee Scott football had a couple of guys signed today as well.
Good.
And so,
that's awesome.
Yeah, big day across the area in the state of Alabama. But, again, phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. Bill Cameron will be here in just a few minutes. Coach Dunn over there. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. We got Drew running the show for us. And, Coach, want to get your thoughts on the story in college athletics right now, which is Charles Bediako. It's the
yeah.
situation at Alabama, right? He left Alabama.
Right.
He went to the league. He went to the draft. He said, I'm done with college. I want to go test the waters. I want to play in professional basketball, which I say back in the day, this is only a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
that waived your right to come back to college. You
yeah.
were done. Your
yeah.
eligibility was done. You gave that up
exactly.
to go pursue professional ball.
You made that choice.
You made the choice.
So,
knowing the consequences
right,
of it. Right.
Right. So I don't like it. I don't think it should be allowed. I think it's bad for all sports.
Mm-hmm.
I understand people make mistakes in judgment, but that was his choice and his family's choice or whoever was telling him what to do or helping him. And probably even his head coach helped him along.
Yeah.
So now things don't work out for him. He wants to come back. I don't think it's fair. I think it's a disadvantage. And to me, he's still a pro. Even though he didn't make the league, he still participated in a pro concept.
In the G League, yeah.
Yeah, I think
which is terrible. I mean, it's still professional basketball. You could call it semi-pro if you want
right,
to, but
right. Yeah,
it's still a level above college yes, basketball.
And he's older. He's more mature. I just don't think it's fair.
And so he's been playing, obviously, for Alabama the past couple of games. Believe their record with him is 1-3 since he came back, including the game against Florida this past
karma.
Weekend. Yeah, where Todd Golden, the head coach of Florida,
that
said,
funny.
We're going to beat him anyway. Doesn't matter
funny.
If he's playing or not. We're going to beat him.
Yeah,
and they did.
There's a little chippiness there, and I liked it.
Yeah, that's Todd Golden, though.
Oh,
man.
Yeah.
He's a heck
cocky,
of a coach.
But he can coach.
Yeah, he can. And
he
so
can back it up.
Charles Bediako has been playing for Alabama. He was supposed to have his hearing coming up this Friday, and his representatives, his legal team, said, actually, we have a bunch of questions. We need a little bit
Let's
more
make
clarity.
Sure he can play in the Auburn
That's
game.
That's exactly right. So
That's
they are
so
now.
That's baloney.
They're requesting for that to be pushed back until at least February 18th, 16th through the 18th, that's when they're looking to have that new hearing. And so they've got this restraining order, and it's basically them saying, hey, NCAA, you can't do it. We're going to play, and
right.
there's nothing you can do
yeah,
about
exactly.
it.
Yeah, exactly. You have no say-so. So, yeah, I just don't like it. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's fair. I don't care if it's football, baseball, basketball, whatever. He declared. He came out. I just don't like it.
I don't either.
I heard some rumblings, you know, my Kentucky Wildcats, and I said, please don't let them get involved in something like that.
Mm.
But I'd like to have Oscar back for another year.
he's a heck of a player. He was so good at Kentucky. He was one of the more dominant bigs we've seen come through the game in quite some time.
Yeah, for sure.
He was good.
Yeah, but so. I don't like it. I'm like you. I just don't think it's right.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, what his representatives are, and his group and his camp are arguing right now is for Charles Bediako is – if you allow European professionals to come play ball, why can't our American professional play ball? And, for example, Filip Jović for Auburn, right?
Everybody's got one.
Yeah, basically. Everybody's starting to do it now. So I understand the argument. I don't necessarily agree with it, but
right.
I understand their argument for that. And right now they're winning.
Yeah, for sure.
So, hey, let's get to an early break, Coach.
Sure.
Let's get to a break. Bill Cameron is on the phone. He is on his way back from the Waltos Performance Center. He's leaving there as they had media availability for Alex Golish and the coordinators as well. I'm out. Coach, you're in here by yourself for a minute, but Bill's going
to
take over on the phone lines when we come back right after this. We're just underway here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive.
The Drive with Bill 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Hello.
Back into the – yeah, go ahead.
Bill. Sound like the police are after you.
Well, no, ambulance. We just had – I just had to pull over an ambulance on the way by. So, it is the Tuesday. What day is today? Is today Wednesday? No, it's the Wednesday drive.
Wednesday. Yeah.
See, that's what happens when your week gets messed up. Hey, Don, really wanted to thank you for coming in yesterday. Really appreciated that. Had the opportunity. Jason Caldwell and I went up to Philip Marshall's services yesterday up in Decatur, and I thought it was great. There was a really good crowd. Very well done. I mean, I believe 8 different folks got up and told stories
right.
about Philip, because Philip was the ultimate Auburn storyteller. I mean, he really was. So that's, folks had some stories, some touching and, some really funny stories about Philip Marshall yesterday up in Decatur. So I really appreciate you, you coming in yesterday, Don.
No problem. Glad to do it.
I'll be at the studio in just a minute or so. I mean, I just started, but as I said, there was an ambulance coming by, slowed us down a little bit. But I've been over at the athletics complex, at the football complex, because today, normally a day that, I mean, in the past, this was one of the biggest days of the year. It is signing day. But But really, only one signing to announce, and that one actually came out yesterday. I guess you guys probably did. You talk about the signing yesterday
of the punter, right?
Punter.
No, we did not talk about him. I think we mentioned it, but we didn't get into any details yet.
It seems like everybody's punters now. Punters are all from Australia,
right?
And Auburn adding another one, a big youngster at 6'4", 225, who Alex Golish says has a thunder leg or something. when Coach Golish came in, it was an opportunity for us to hear from Alex Golish and then DJ Durkin and Joel Gordon. So both the coordinators.
Great.
We're available for the media as well, so it was great. And yeah, Coach Golish was pretty funny when he first came in. He said, "Good to see all you folks here to hear about our one addition to the signing class."
Things have changed, but, haven't they?
Woo. Yeah, man, no kidding. I mean, this used to be everybody. This was the day, and the day that you guys worked so hard for, and generally. It was over well before this time of day.
Usually. You wanted it over
by 7 o'clock in the morning, you wanted to know for sure.
As soon as that first fax came in, you wanted them all in within 15 or 20 minutes. If not, you became very nervous.
Oh, yeah. But it's because of the transfer portal. I mean, it seems sort of like old news. And then, of course, the early signing period.
Yes.
Most players sign now. And Coach Golish pointing out that, you know, Auburn has 60 new players on its roster from the time that he took over just a couple of months ago, and 40 of those are transfers. So this is what they've been, you know, just going crazy, getting everything taken care of. And he had a couple of really interesting answers when, you know, he was asked about trying to determine how do you do this. And, of course, he said, you know, coming in and being in your first year, it's even harder because you don't know the players well enough to really understand or know for sure who's going to stay. So he said, you're talking with the players. He only got to speak, like, I think one time with each of the players before classes ended. And since Auburn wasn't in a bowl game,
right?
They were home. And so he'd call or FaceTime the players and, you know, still trying to check, and he said, finally, you know, he said, at some point, you had a pretty good feeling about some of the players. But then on some of the others that you really hadn't had a chance to get to know, it's like, dude, are you staying or are you going?
Yeah.
Because I need to know so that I can replace you if you're not going to be back.
Right. Yeah, it's I don't know how they do it. A lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of guessing, a lot of anxiety. That first year has got to be awful hard on everybody. But I think they've done an excellent job of rebuilding the roster. Sounds like they've got some great players, some great additions. And now it's time to go to work.
Yeah, and, you know, he really credited the staff. You know, he said some of which were here when he got here and were retained, and a lot of the folks that he added and brought in. And really gave them an awful lot of credit for that. But you know, the ability to be able to try to do that while you're recruiting,
right,
and keeping up with the numbers and trying to keep up with the amount of money you're going to spend is just mind-boggling.
Yeah, it's tough. I don't know how they do it. Like we said, it's got to be very well organized. You got to have a great staff, great support group, and a lot of resources to help do all those things. But I think, you know, they haven't played a game yet, but I think they've done a really good job.
Yeah, and now that I'm in the studio.
You're amazing.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Well, I mean, I wanted to have the opportunity. I hated for nobody from here to be able to be over there and and hearing some of the comments. But, I mean, one of the things that we had picked up early on from about Alex Golish is something that DJ Durkin and then Joel Gordon both said. And that is his attention to detail.
Yeah.
He knows what he expects, seems like, every minute of every day from everybody.
That's I love it. I love it. I love it. You know, we've talked about, you've asked me some of the best guys I work for, the Bobby Petrinos, the Chris Alts, those guys, attention to detail. They knew exactly what they were doing. We knew what they wanted. And I could tell you what I was going to be doing 6 months from today, pretty much my schedule.
Well, that, I think that's organized. Great. That is great. And that's one of the things when, you know, when Coach Golish, I asked Coach Golish about, you know, bringing 13 transfers with him from South Florida, as well as having so many members of the staff, especially offensively, already being here. And that's a huge advantage for a new coach to have that many players, especially on the offensive side of the ball, knowing what to expect.
Yes.
I mean, they already know what their head coach, what their position coach, what their offensive coordinator is expecting of them every day, from the winter workouts
to
spring
meetings,
ball,
everything.
To summer, to everything.
They know, and it's nothing but a plus. They know what the schedule's going to be probably. They know how the work ethic's going to be, the demeanor, what is expected, what I can do, what I can't do, and that's just going to help because those players talk now.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's this guy like now? Is he going to be hard on me if I do this or I don't do that? And, again, the center and the quarterback to me, I know people might say the center, but I think that's so important getting those two guys.
Oh, no. I mean, and that's one of the – Joel Gordon and Alex Gullish talked about how important Joel Gordon said specifically how much better the offense got after Cole Best, the center, took over a year and a half ago. He said the offense just really took off after that because he understood exactly what, you know, what they wanted, but how to get his other guys, you know, he made the checks and the calls.
He's the quarterback of the offensive line. He sets the protections, the you know, the slide protections, the blocking schemes. All that things. So, yeah, I'm excited. I do like this guy. And, again, I don't know him from Adam.
Well, you need to.
I need to get to know him.
When we have an opportunity, you need to come over with Dan and me and Jacob and, you know, over there so that – but then, you know, we can sort of introduce you. But you can go much deeper than we can since you're a former coach. But, I mean, you need to. I'd love to have you over there. Thing is, right now, the next couple of scheduled times they've got, we've got all the assistants coming up next week. We're going to get to talk to all the assistants next Tuesday and Wednesday.
Good.
One day it's offensive. Next day it's the defensive
position
coaches.
I think that's a plus,
coaches.
Too.
But it's going to be, again, at 3 o'clock. So I was going to say something to Coach Golish next time. Go, you know, can we move it up just a little bit?
An hour.
Kidding. But as a matter of fact, want to run. I think when we get a chance, we'll run Joel Gordon because that's a guy, you know, folks haven't had a chance to hear him. I mean, Coach Golish was great. He went for better than a half an hour today. Taking questions, and he gives you detailed answers too.
Yeah,
and he
not
talked
coach
about
speak.
He was asked about recruiting as well as, you know, the transfer portal because obviously they had a huge junior day just this past weekend, and they're really working. And one of the things when he was talking about, you know, bringing in 40 players through the transfer portal and trying to retain players, and was asked about NIL and how do you handle all that? I mean, he said, look, it's more money. But it's also more players, and we're trying to figure – he said – I thought it was really interesting. He said one of the things we're trying to figure is what's the number we want to go to. We have 105 scholarships available, and you have 105-man roster limit, but are you going to go all the way to 105? And how many of those 105 are you expecting to be contributors? Because some of those guys – you know they're going to be developmental players.
Right.
And he talked about the difficulty in times of trying to bring in developmental players, you know, understanding that the players need to realize what the depth chart is, what the possibility of playing is, and what the benefits would be of you know, learning and not being able to play early on.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he was saying, you know, we needed to try to figure in this league – how many players are you really hoping to play? Would you like to be able to play? And do you need to have to be able to play in this conference? Is it like the NFL? Is it 53? Is it 60?
See, that's
is
changed.
It 70? He said because it's not 105.
No,
you know you're not going to play 105
right.
players. I mean, if you play 65 players.
That's a lot.
Saturday, yeah, on a Saturday, yeah. That is a lot.
Yeah.
And that's including, you know, guys that are just playing special teams.
Right, right. But, yeah, that's another thing that's changed, Bill, the way they have to, you know, plan all that out.
I mean,
it's amazing.
Well, he said, and that was what was changing while he was doing all this. It's like, is this guy staying? Is he going? All right, is this guy not being here?
That's amazing.
Yeah, and then can we keep these guys at what they were being paid? Are they worth what's being paid? Are there some players that might be better off going somewhere else that might free up some money for us to get other players? I
Very
mean, all that going on at the same time.
Unbelievable. I don't know how they do it. I mean, I'm just amazed.
Well, he said a couple of times, he said, I thought this would be a great documentary. He said, everything that was going on, he said, you wouldn't believe what all was going on. He said, as a matter of fact, I even approached I approached people, you know, here and said, This could be not only a great documentary, but it could be a moneymaker.
I think people would pay to see that.
He said,
because I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, he said. But then I found out. You know, he said. Then I found out the SEC's got those rights. so we couldn't do that. He said, it would be a fascinating documentary for people to just see all that's going on. He said, because there are people scouting and evaluating 24 hours a day that are breaking this down. And he said, he did say that of the players that were brought in, he said of the, and he mentioned two or three times 40, I've got 39. So maybe there's somebody else out there that, that maybe a waiver is going to come
through. We
talked about that possibility, but he said 75% of them, he figured 75% of them, there was a prior relationship of some sort. He said, so I knew and they knew when I called. He said, when I called,
right,
they knew who I was and they knew something about me and I knew something about them. He said, the other 25%, he said, you're watching video of them. You like what you see on video. You're doing as much background checks as you can
calling
to find
people.
Out about them as, you know, just as a person.
Right.
He said, but then it's just. It's just, hey, dude, this is Alex Golish. What's up?
Come on,
you know,
down.
It's like, what's up? It's like, but it's so he was really good.
Good.
There's a lot of Coach Golish.
Yep.
So we're not going to run that because it takes a lot of time. But I do want to run some of the Joel Gordon because I don't think people have had a chance to hear from Auburn's new offensive coordinator Alex Golish was asked. Who's going to be the play caller? And it's like, it's Joel Gordon. He said, I can interject. but he went into the detail of how they talk in between every series.
Mm-hmm.
But as fast paced as it is, it's Joel Gordon's
play caller. Plus, you got somebody talking to the quarterback.
Yep. But he said, I will say, and this is funny from Golish, too. Mm-hmm. He said, I will say, I had a really good percentage on calls for touchdowns.
Yeah, he did.
So Joel Gordon was asked about that, and he said, and people were chuckling, and he goes, no, he's right.
Yeah.
He said, I believe he was at 90% this past year.
Wow.
So
he can live with that.
Yeah, he said.
Well, that's great. I think everybody's excited. I mean, you'd be crazy not to be. It was time to get some excitement. And I think he's a little bit hard nosed too, don't you?
There's no question about that.
He looks
he's got some old school in him.
And you know me, I love that stuff.
And I don't know how many times he says every time he gets an opportunity, he talks about how much we're gonna run the ball.
That's right.
We're gonna run the ball.
Amen, amen, amen.
All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. We'll let you hear some of the Joel Gordon, Auburn's offensive coordinator, as we continue. But our phone lines are open. Love to hear from you. Heard you guys talking about the Abediako situation, and you saw where the
Tennessee guy.
Well, you saw where the how about BYU? The situation with
I didn't see that.
Oh yeah, Amari Bailey, who played at UCLA and has been with the Hornets, played 10 games with the Hornets.
What?
Is signed with BYU.
Get out of here.
And is seeking a TRO to allow him to become immediately eligible at BYU. So,
wow.
Yeah, it is escalating.
I got
quickly.
Tickled at the new football coach at Florida. Did you see where he said they were going to get Tebow to come in and run some short yardage?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, he's not in that 5-year window, no, but who knows if that that doesn't seem to matter. Yeah, that's where Aguilar is, you know, trying to just say the junior college years don't count. That's the thing is judges can say, that's the thing. Judges can say, oh, this shouldn't be the case.
Mm-hmm.
And people go, what could ever be done about it? Well, if the schools, the presidents and the ADs said, we're going to abide by our rules, then it wouldn't matter what the judge said. But that's the problem now. Everybody wants that edge. They want that advantage. They want their school.
And they want to win
so,
at any cost.
So I just don't know. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive.
With Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Coach Don Dunn, we've got Drew at the controls. I was just telling Don a little more about yesterday's celebration of life for Philip Marshall up in Decatur. And I hadn't mentioned earlier when I was talking about the folks that were there. I mean, I think 8 different folks got up and told stories.
Great.
About Philip, Kevin Steele.
Okay.
Kevin Steele drove down from Charleston to be him. There and do that, and
that's great.
Yeah, he said that he and Philip talked just about every night.
Wow.
I mean, they talked and just talking different things.
Wouldn't expect that. I mean, that's great.
Well, he told a story, and it was funny because then I heard you guys on the way back were trying to listen a little bit to the show. Well, we stopped at 8. We didn't get back in town until a little after 8 o'clock last night. Because, I mean, it poured. It poured on us all the way from Decatur till we got to about Dadeville last night. But Kevin was telling a story about the 1988 Auburn-Tennessee game. And you guys mentioned that game.
Mm-hmm.
It got mentioned on the show yesterday.
Yeah.
But Kevin was talking about that, said he and Philip were talking about that game. And he said, as a matter of fact, he said, yeah, he said Philip would be for some reason talking about that game. Kevin was assistant at Tennessee at the time,
right?
And Kevin said something about the game, and Philip went, "No, that isn't what happened." And he told him. And Kevin said, "Are you sure?" And Philip said, "Yeah, I'm sure." And Kevin looked it up, and he was sure.
Exactly.
And he said. He said so. And later on, he said at one point he heard Coach Dye and Philip in an argument.
Really.
And. Philip was correcting Coach Dye about that same game that Auburn won 38-6.
Okay,
so that was crazy that we heard that.
Yeah.
But dang, it was so Kevin was saying he's going to have to find somebody else to just talk football to, and you know, and not necessarily specifics about this year's team or breaking things, you know, just reminiscing
just
and
talk.
Things like that.
That's
so on the way. I mean, we didn't get out of Birmingham. We hadn't even got to Birmingham yet, and Jason's phone rings, and it's Kevin Steele wanting to talk. He's just talking some football with Jason.
Yeah, that's great. Great. A lot of great stories. I'm glad you got to go. It's sad deal, but what a guy. What a memory.
No,
what a career.
And the amazing thing to me now, Mike Marshall, who worked for Philip at and is an outstanding writer. Now he's moved on from sports writing. Wrote a very very touching piece about Philip there at Auburn Undercover.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not realize that Philip Marshall is not in the Alabama Sports Writers Hall of Fame.
You're kidding me.
No, he is not.
That's ridiculous.
And Mike wrote that Philip, who we found out yesterday, I found this out yesterday, Philip was one of the guys who really started and was one of the people behind the Alabama Sports Writers Hall of Fame because of his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And his dad is one of the most celebrated sports writers in the state, in Alabama history.
Ridiculous.
But Mike wrote that it's because of Philip's affiliation with Auburn that he became known as an Auburn guy. and that voters held that against him. They wanted riders that they felt weren't biased. Well, here's something for you. Kirk McNair and Cecil Hurt are in the Alabama Sports Writers Hall of Fame.
How about that?
I mean, those are Alabama guys. So yeah, it's okay for Alabama guys.
Yeah.
So there is a movement now that has been started to put Philip rightfully there in the Alabama Sports Writers Hall of Fame.
Enjoy that while he was alive.
No kidding. And Mike wrote that it hurt Philip deeply.
Yeah, just petty stuff, man. Yep. People, ridiculous.
All right. Obviously, there's a lot to talk about here today. We can talk more about the eligibility and things, situations that are going on in the courts.
Yeah,
shame it's not just on the court. And obviously, we'll let you hear some Joel Gordon talk a little bit more about what the coaches had to say over at the football complex today. But we're wide open. Let's get to the drive hotline sponsored by Skybar, 334-321-1390, and Terry gets us started. Hey, Terry.
Hey, Bill, Coach Dunn. How y'all doing?
Great.
Good. Bill, great stories about Mr. Morse. Great stories.
There are tons and tons of them, I'm telling you, Terry. I mean, he's the man, he lived his life. There's no question about that. And he one of the things that I was just chatting with Andy a little while ago over at the before the press conferences, and he's absolutely right. Philip would speak his mind, and he didn't mind if you agreed or not.
Boy, would he. Yeah, he would. He would exactly speak his mind. Interesting what Coach Golis said today, Bill?
Yes.
Okay. I thought I lost you there for a second. Where do you think the people stand that wanted D.J. Durkin to get the job?
I think they're fine. The fact that DJ Durkin is still here, and DJ Durkin seemed really excited about being here. He was asked, I believe, the last question to DJ was, any changes in the styles here? I mean, I think it was asked where it wasn't something that seemed like bash the last guy or anything, but DJ really sort of lit up when he talked about. He really liked how detail-oriented Alex Golis is, and that he feels players and coaches need that. And it's when you're trying to bring players in, too, they want to know what's expected of them. And I think that, they had a prior relationship, something I hadn't realized, that Coach Golis and DJ had a prior relationship. And I think that this is something that's going to be it looks like a pretty good match to me. But DJ talked about just, when you're at a special place, you do everything you can to stay there. And he really wants to be here. His family loves it here. He loves the school, and he loves the players that he feels like he has a chance to have a very special defense again this year.
To the fact that he's a great coordinator and a below average coach, head coach.
I don't know if he'd go that far. I think he's very proud of what he's done as a defensive coordinator. I still wouldn't be shocked if he pursued a head coaching opportunity if somebody, somebody was interested at a job that he felt would be worth looking at.
But I know the argument to get in the job when it was open was he would keep the recruiting class together, and he stayed, and he still didn't.
Yeah, but I don't think you can put that on him. I think a lot on the kids. And I think also, I think this new staff, I think Alex Golis and his staff went, hey, we're spending what on some of these guys?
Yeah.
And we need offensive line. We need, we need more players at certain positions, and maybe we need to reallocate the money that we're spending. So
yeah, he's put together a good mixture of experienced guys and incoming guys.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's something that really impressed me is they're not all one-year guys. He's got quite a few underclassmen and quite a few players with multiple, with like 3 years of eligibility left.
Right. And I think that's a good thing to have. That's a great thing because it tells you he's looking at the long-term future, not the short-term success.
Yeah, I mean, of course, you can't guarantee that anybody's going to be back. year after year. But right. I think the fact that they've got the 13 South Florida kids coming in, and their combination of upperclassmen, I believe he said, you know, you've got a few guys that a couple of guys redshirted this past year, 11 on offense and 2 on defense. Most of them are experienced, but they've got some young guys too. He said that they found and went, man, we really hit on this guy. He may be a little better than we thought, and they were able to bring him in. Those guys hopefully can relate to some of the other young players that, hey, it's worth being here under this guy.
Yeah, if you look closely, he kept a lot of the guys. Gullis did keep a lot of the guys who had experience, the great linebacker and you know, Cedric Cobb and some of those guys like that.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, the I would say linebacker, safety. I mean, the defensive linemen were pretty much out of eligibility. I mean, they kept the young defensive linemen that were coming back, and then Jeremiah. So I mean, they kept some players that ought to be able to be leaders for them this coming year.
Right. I appreciate you guys. You have a great day.
All right, Terry. Good hearing from you. 334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. Bill and Don here in the studio here on this Wednesday. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Love to hear from you again. I think we'll in hour number two, we'll let you hear some of the comments from Auburn's offensive coordinator, Joel Gordon. So until then, we're wide open. Come on in and join us.
The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive, Bill and Coach Don Dunn. Again, thanks to Jacob for hanging around there for an extra segment.
Yeah.
Because it was a 3 o'clock start for Alex Golish, followed by DJ Durkin, and DJ didn't get in until around 3:40.
Mm-hmm.
Went about 10 or 11 minutes, and then there was a couple minutes before Joel Gordon came in, so he didn't get done till, you know, like after five. It was like 4:07 or something like that. I looked at the watch, and I'm thinking, well, I sure hope he did. So.
Made great time, though.
Yeah. Well, I came around on University. I didn't try to come through town. Yeah. And I caught all the lights green. The only thing I had was
Miracle.
that one ambulance and decided to come by. And I'm sorry. I just what happened is we came back from break as that was going, and I'm thinking, pull over, make room for the ambulance, and it's like, oh, I realized it was dead air. So sorry about that. All right, 334-321-1390. Love to hear from you. We mentioned the Charles Bediako thing has now been post, or at least they're asking for the hearing to be postponed until February the 16th, which would allow Bediako to play against Auburn and for the next.
Tonight, next
couple of weeks. Well, he was already playing tonight.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
They've got Texas A&M tonight because the hearing was going to be on Friday, the day before the Iron Bowl of basketball. But
it's amazing.
As we said, seems like every day there's something crazier.
Yeah.
Now you've got a guy who's played in the NBA signing with BYU.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. 334-321-1390. Back to the phone we go, and
Brian
is up next. Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are y'all?
Pretty good.
Hey, Bill, you may want to check on that Amari Bailey thing. I got fooled on something earlier today.
Was that not real?
The thing I saw it was a parody account that put it out.
Ah,
and it
okay.
Fooled everybody, but now maybe it's true now. But I know I got fooled.
Oh no, it probably is. I just saw that while I was driving. So no, I haven't had a chance to really check. I heard somebody mention it earlier. Hadn't had a chance to look at it because I was headed over to the press conference. So that very well could be the case.
Hopefully, it's fake.
You know, I wouldn't. But the thing is, that would be the next step. I mean, once you get to this point and you've had somebody sign an NBA contract, obviously the next step, the next envelope that's going to be pushed is somebody who's played.
That's right. And what's to stop them? Right? Like I made the argument. Couple of days ago, that with the Betty Ako thing, I said, well, why doesn't Auburn call up Janai Broom then? And the answer I got back was, oh, well, that's different. He's already ruled out of eligibility. I said, well, hang on. If we're going to challenge one rule, let's just challenge them all.
Well, they are all being challenged. You got Joey Aguilar looking to forget his junior college days to try to get get a sixth year at Tennessee. So, I mean, look, there are rules there, and the NCAA has said no. The problem is then you find a favorable judge that says, well, that doesn't seem fair to the young man. And if the schools that had agreed to all these rules aren't going to abide by them, then there's no way it can be enforced.
Exactly right. And I love how Alabama, or not Alabama, but the Betty Ako people, one day before it was due to start the injunction hearing is when they file for the 10-day
right.
10-day extension. That's perfect timing on their part. It's exactly the same way as it was perfect timing on Alabama's part to get Betty Ako enrolled in spring classes. Just in time for this to happen.
You mean he hasn't been enrolled for each of the each semester for the last 2.5 years? Yeah,
yeah, funny you're right. How that works.
Yeah, you're right.
Hey, real quick, Bill. Just do you know if the students are camping out for the ball game Saturday?
I heard yesterday that they were. I wonder how they made it through the rain.
Yeah.
Yesterday, but I would sure think so by Wednesday. Absolutely, yeah. I think you may be
supposedly
late to the
they
party
were out
right
there
now.
Already yesterday.
Yeah.
Awesome. Good deal. Well, War Eagle guys, I appreciate it. Y'all have a good one.
Good hearing from you, Brian. All right, we're halfway done here on the Wednesday Drive. Got some audio from Auburn assistant coach, the offensive coordinator, Joel Gordon. We'll let you hear that in hour number two, but we'd love to hear from you as well.
The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in to hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Hope everybody doing well on a day that started out. It wasn't too pretty early. Of course, it rained some last night. Rained a good bit earlier this morning.
Yeah, yeah.
Really has cleared off and looks pretty good out
windy,
there.
A little windy.
Yeah, but I mean, it looks like, maybe a little cooler tomorrow, but the weather, I think, is going to warm up a little bit. Looks like it's going to be a little nicer by this weekend. So enjoy, folks. I mean, it's February. You never know what the weather's going to be in February here.
No.
Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Dan has got Troy women's basketball today, but he'll be back in tomorrow. I was a little late getting in because I was over at the football complex where we had an opportunity to hear from head coach Alex Gulish, defensive coordinator DJ Durkin, and offensive coordinator Joel Gordon today. It is crazy as it seems, it's National Signing Day.
Yeah.
Nobody is signing a lot of players. Some smaller schools are.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, as far as most of the big names, they've pretty much been long gone. But Auburn added a punter yesterday. But today was just an opportunity for us to catch up with Coach Gulish and meet Coach Gordon and catch up with DJ Durkin. We talked a little bit a lot of questions to Coach Gulish about the process that has gotten Auburn to where they are right now with nearly 100 players on scholarship, because it's been a long one. Auburn only had around 30.
Yeah.
I think it was 35, I guess.
Yeah.
Players as holdovers on this roster. So, you know, he was asked about NIL, handling that, dealing with all the player movement. So some really interesting comments from Coach Gulish. DJ Durkin seems excited about the talent that Auburn was able to bring in and able to keep there. Right. Linebacker especially, young defensive lineman. He was asked about the edge position. Didn't rule out the possibility that some of those linebackers could line up there on the outside as pass rushers as well.
Yeah, I look for them to really take a good look at that this spring for sure.
So we can talk more about that. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, SEC basketball tonight. Probably the most interesting game is the number one team in the league right now, Texas A&M. Bucky McMillan comes back to the state of Alabama. They will be in Tuscaloosa taking on Charles Bediako and the Alabama Crimson Tide. In case you haven't heard, Bediako's attorneys have asked for an extension of the temporary restraining order allowing him to play. They would like it pushed back all the way to February the 16th. That would be 2 weeks from this past Monday, mm-hmm. which would mean he would be able to suit up against Auburn Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock. We can talk about that. I was looking. Brian called in. Look, ESPN's got a story about Amari Bailey, the former UCLA player who mm-hmm. played 10 games with the Charlotte Hornets. ESPN's got quotes from Amari Bailey. He is seeking to regain his eligibility for college. Now, it doesn't have the part where he is supposedly signed with BYU.
Right.
But he is definitely trying to get back, and that would be a step beyond Bediako, who has signed three NBA contracts of the two-way deals. So we'll see. But yeah, it does seem every day there's something more. All right, 334-321-1390 is the Drive hotline, sponsored by Skybar, and Jackson gets us started this hour. Hey, Jackson.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, not a whole lot.
I just had a question about our basketball team.
So, sure.
My main question was going to be, how Tahad's been kind of inconsistent recently, and I was wondering, at some point, do you think we'll see Caden Magwood back in at some juncture? I know there's that situation with him and Steven a couple weeks back, but do you think he gets a second chance at some point this year?
You know, it's the more time goes by and we haven't seen him, I would think that the likelihood decreases. Now this is an open week. If you don't see him Saturday, I can't imagine when the opportunity would arise that you would, because there have been games where Auburn has had the game well in hand, and Caden hasn't gotten in. I continue to hear that defense is the concern, but they're obviously there's more than that to that story.
Yes,
so I don't know. I think KO's going to have to get more time. Kevin Overton's going to have to get more time there at the point as they try to give Tahad a little bit of a break.
I know, man. I hope Tahad gets back to his regular ways this weekend against Alabama, but nothing against Mushalek. I just don't feel like he's necessarily a threat on the offensive side of the
court. Right.
On the court, it's kind of like we're playing 4-on-5 when he's out there, which, I mean, no hate to him. I'm sure he's a good kid, but I'd like to see someone else in there. I don't know if Hayden's that guy, and I know Steven probably knows more than me about it, but if that's the situation, then I don't know. Let's just hope Todd starts playing better.
Yeah, offensively. I mean, the thing is, I think, at times, I think Hod's picked it up defensively and become more of a distributor. It's just he just hadn't been able to buy a shot. I mean, some of his shots look so good leaving his hand, and they just seem to rattle around and come out. But then other times you see him sort of doing fadeaways and looking a little off balance when he shoots. And I know he's pressing,
yes, sir.
And I'm sure a lot of it is mental. You just keep waiting for that big breakout game and thought maybe we were seeing it there a little bit in the Texas game. But Auburn's going to need him.
Yes,
they really are going to need his offense at some point. And they've got to try to figure ways to try to save. I worry about his legs down the stretch.
Yes, sir.
It's tough if you're just playing seven as you head into March.
Yes, sir. And one last thing. I know Tahad's definitely been more on the scouting report than he was last year. And so I feel like most of his shots, I think the other teams, they want him to take tough shots. And he is, and he hasn't really been making them where last year he was. So hopefully he gets the offense turned around. And I know y'all, the last caller was talking about asking if there were anyone camping out, any of the students.
Yeah.
I'm a student here, and I went to the Chick-fil-A in the Village today. And I didn't see anyone out there, but I don't know. I'm sure there will be people starting lineup tonight.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I was wondering when I heard it yesterday and was thinking about all the rain and everything. I thought it's awful early on a Tuesday, but
yes,
but it's still going to be tough to get in Saturday. I do know that.
Team,
Yeah.
I know last year that was a bigger matchup, so it was kind of harder to get a ticket, but.
Yeah, it's crazy to think neither team's ranked right now, isn't it? I mean, that is really crazy.
Yes, sir. Well, I appreciate you taking my call today, and y'all have a great week.
Hey, good hearing from you, Jackson. Take care.
Thank you.
War Eagle.
Yeah, man. 334-321-1390, and Yellowhammer is up next. Hey, Yellowhammer.
Hey, afternoon. Here's what concerns me is, as I understand it, we're completely rebuilding the offensive line, and I was just wondered if you
thought
about that.
Oh, it is rebuilt. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Alex.
Also, who is the offensive coach, line coach?
Yeah, all right. That is Todd Hudanik. Todd Hudanik was the offensive line coach for the last 3 years at South Florida with Alex Golish and Joel Gordon, the offensive coordinator. So those he talked about the importance of that continuity, too, having the head coach, the offensive coordinator, and the offensive line coach have all been together for the last 3 years, and they brought in their star center from the past year and a half. So you've got a senior center who understands the system, the calls, the checks, and they also brought in a starting guard from South Florida. So you've got two guys who have been in that system for the last 3 years with those coaches coming in. So that is the anchor of the offensive line right there. They went out.
What about the left tackle?
Well, they went out and signed Stanton Ramil, who is an Alabama native, who signed with Michigan State and has been a starter at Michigan State the last 2 years. He's a 6'7" tackles. I think he's around 315 or something like that. I mean, all these guys are 300 plus now. But I mean, Stanton is a 2 year starter from Michigan State who has 2 years of eligibility left. He'll come in as a junior this year, so I feel like he's probably your left tackle. Even though they signed Joseph Simmons, is a guy who started at left tackle this past year as well at James Madison, who made the playoff. You remember, so they've got a guy from the Big Ten, and they've got a guy from this past year's 12-team playoff who both started at left tackle for their teams. Most people seem to feel like Joe's more of a right tackle than a left tackle, but it's great to have two guys who've started at left tackle, and they brought in a couple of other guys who have also started at tackle and have Simmons has got 1 year of eligibility, brought in a couple of other guys who are seniors who have played both guard, started at guard and tackle. So they've got some experience there. They have 9 guys who have multiple years of college experience that they brought in to play on the offensive line. I mentioned, obviously, led by the 2 guys from South Florida. So they've got a good mix. They also brought in, they signed 5 high school linemen. And then, they've got 17 total players now on the offensive line. You have Cale Ellis, who started a couple of games last year at center, coming back. He could move, he could work at center or guard. And then Auburn only had, they had 2 other players who redshirted last year that they're bringing back. But they've got 17 players, and as a matter of fact, Alex Golish, was it Golish or Joel Gordon? I think it was Golish that was saying they've got 3 walk-ons that they have as well. So they've got 20 guys, and he said the great thing is right now nobody's guaranteed a spot. So it's going to be great.
Well, I'm not near as alarmed as I was.
No, so he said, but that's going to be great competition because they all know that, look, they're going to have to work for a starting job. I would say if Cole Best isn't your starting center, I will be completely stunned because he's been he's been the leader of the offensive line for the last 3 years, for the last couple of years under this coaching staff. But as far as the guards and tackles, they're wide open, and Auburn's got a lot of guys to choose from that are going to go in and compete here over the spring and summer.
Well, that sounds pretty good. I like that.
Oh, I think I when you look at it, and Golish said the same thing. He said they look good. Now they're going to have to get out and prove it. But I think they have some really good options, at least as they head into the winter workouts. Or they're already in the winter workouts.
Okay, well, thanks.
Appreciate the call, Yellowhammer. 334-321-1390. Why don't we, if we get a chance, we'll let you hear from Joel Gordon, Auburn's offensive coordinator. When we come back here on the Wednesday Drive, we'll get to our first break. Stick with us.
War Eagle, this is Coach Larry.
390, toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, Drew at the controls. And earlier today, we had a chance, media had a chance to spend some time with Auburn's head coach and coordinators. And I think, you know, not many folks are as familiar with Auburn offensive coordinator Joel Gordon, who has been with Alex Golish the last 3 years in South Florida, before that at Iowa State. And thought we'd let you hear some of the comments of Joel Gordon today as he spent time with the media. And his first question he was asked was Justin Ferguson asked him about signing all the running backs. With Jeremiah Cobb coming back, the addition of three experienced running backs to go with him, the thought process that went into that.
Yeah, I think it all starts with Jeremiah Cobb. You know, he was here. He's played here. He was really productive a year ago. And behind him, there's not a ton of just experience and proven, you know, production. So you got to have depth at that position, you know, regardless of what offense that you play in. And the way that we play with the tempo, there's got to be guys that are ready to be fresh, you know, at all times. And it's what we start by, you know, that's where our offense starts, is running the rock, being physical, and those guys are, you know, inherently going to get banged up and nicked up, you know, as the year goes on, and you got to have guys that are ready to go in there and play. But just building some support around Jeremiah will be huge, you know, moving forward. You know, he's proven that he can play at a really high level, and he's going to have to do that and improve, you know, and get better for us as we move forward. But to add some of the guys in that room, and there's a bunch of them right now, and it'll be fun to get into February and get into spring practice and kind of see, kind of get some of those guys healthy. You know, some of those guys are coming. The season wasn't too long ago, and, you know, it's that's a huge, like, that's who we are. Our identity is going to be to line up and be able to run the football. That's where everything starts. So getting those guys in, learning the system, and getting them out there on the field February, spring, summer, fall camp, you know, before the season. This offense is a lot different, you know, from what most of them are coming from. So we got to get these guys healthy, got to get them comfortable, and get them ready to go. But that's a room where we got to have depth.
Good. Jason, Peter, and Bill.
Joe, Jason, Caldwell, Auburn, undercover. Just talk the how important it is to have not only three of you guys coming on the offensive side, but Golish as well. That group of guys and then bringing in players from USF to be able to kind of hit the ground running and get this thing started on the right foot.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to even, like, quantify how much further ahead, you know, that will be. It's a game changer to have coaches. Like, the first time when we got to South Florida, obviously there was – man, everything was brand new. It was a brand new coaching staff. Where I was coming from, I didn't know anybody, you know, but Coach Golish. And we spent, man, that was a really important winter time and spring for me personally. But it was brand new to the players. It was brand new to the coaches. And to walk through the door right now and to have players and coaches that have just been doing it together for the last 3 years is huge. So the amount of time that we're able to spend doing other things instead of teaching everybody how this thing works, way ahead of schedule compared to 3 years ago.
Peter.
Peter Rodriguez, BYU.com. I guess kind of following up on that, Coach Gohl was talking about play calling earlier, described it as kind of collective with you and the offensive staff. I guess when you have the relationship that you have with him and some of the other guys, how much easier is that? And how does that kind of work from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, we've got an awesome staff, and you know, that's one thing I'm really fired up about. You know, the guys that came with us, Cody Burns, we've only had a chance to work together since this time last year, so that was really the new piece, you know, on our staff a year ago. But man, he's been awesome. He was in this offense before, so that transition's kind of been, you know, seamless. Tyler Hudanik, you know, man, he's been in this thing probably longer than anybody. And he played in a similar offense and has been coaching in it really his entire career. He's been incredible for me to learn from. They're all really good coaches. And then the two guys that we hired when we got here, they've been in this league. Coach Porter's been in this program. So to say that I'm, man, really excited that we were able to bring the guys, you know, that we did with us, and we got a ton of guys off the field that were all coming from South Florida as well, which those guys are all going to be critical to our success in player development, teaching, how this offense works, practice, game planning, all of that. But when you have a really good group of people that like working together, and that starts with the head coach, he spends a lot of time with us, you know, and spent a ton of time 3 years ago teaching everybody in that room how this thing works. And he's been really successful in that role as a coordinator. It's fun, you know, we have a great time. But in terms of, you know, collaborating and play calling and doing all that, man, when there's times where we need to collaborate and figure out what the best thing to do is, I think we've got a great relationship, you know, across the board. So we're blessed. We got really good people, you know, that are coaching the guys here.
Bill Cameron with the Drive on ESPN 106.7. Had to go out and get a complete new offensive line, really only three guys that were here returning. Just your thoughts on the ability to bring those guys in. Obviously, I would guess led by Cole from USF.
Yeah, you know, that was, man, what a task, you know, when you don't have anybody. You walk into a program and not one guy. There were some good players, you know, on the offensive line a year ago. Not one of those guys is going to have a chance to be coming back. Cale, you know, played some for a young guy, which was pretty incredible. But you got to rebuild a whole room, essentially, man, to come in here in January and come to a new school, learn new offense, meet new coaches, and start over, you know, kind of start from scratch. To be able to bring the guys from South Florida will be huge. Cole Best, really, you know, what he did for us in the last year and a half at South Florida was you can't even tell anybody how important that guy was to just the culture, not just on offense, but the culture of that football team, specifically on offense, what he did with the leadership, with the offensive line, and then how he played on the field. We became a different team when he took over, you know, at center. So to have him, and then you bring Skinner with him, those guys, and what they've got to do a great job of, and all the guys from South Florida, they've got to do a great job of leading, you know, because they know what it looks like, they know what the schedule is, they know what the lifting is going to be, they know how we practice, and these guys got to be great leaders for us. But to say that we got those two guys to be able to, you know, be in front of an offensive line group that's really everybody else is kind of starting from zero, man, it's huge. Like you can't quantify how important that is, but man, we're going to be well ahead of where we would be if they weren't here, for sure.
Let's go Nathan, Brian, Jerry,
Joe, Nathan King, Auburn undercover. We've heard Coach Gohl talk a few times about Byron Brown and what he brings as a player, but for you, having been his position coach for a few years and having had a close relationship with him, what's your outlook on what has made him so successful over the years, and how excited are you to be able to coach him another year here at Auburn?
Yeah, the way that it's all worked out is, you know, no one would have ever guessed that this was going to be in the cards. So it's a really special, you know, opportunity for myself, for him, be together, you know, for one more year. But he's just a, when you guys get a chance to meet him, he's a great human being, you know, number one. And from the time we got to Tampa, he was already there. He played a little bit right on the tail end of that true freshman year that he had. And, you know, he was young. You know, he's young for his grade as it is. And there was a lot of maturing and growing to do in a lot of ways, on the field, off the field, just growing as a leader. But what he's been from day one is he's been the same guy every single day. His process in terms of what he brings to the building as a worker, whether it's the weight room, whether it's meeting about football, whether it's on the field, whatever it is, he's infectious, you know, and the coaches feel that energy, the players feel that energy, and I think what happened over the course of time in the last 3 years, and he got hurt, you know, the second year we were there, and that was a big blow, you know, to the program, not just that the quarterback is not, he's not out there playing anymore, just people feed off of him, you know, and I think where he started his career when we weren't there, and then we didn't think he was going to be the starting quarterback when we started fall camp that first year, and the guy that was supposed to be the guy, and he was coming off an injury, wasn't ready to go yet, and Byron had earned the opportunity to be the two at that point, and he was the next guy in, and all he did was take it and run. You know, he didn't look back at all. There was never a doubt in our mind if it was going to be anybody else. And he just got so much better and so much more confident on the field as we went. But that very first game, when we realized it was real football, like we hadn't seen this guy get tackled, we hadn't seen him play in a real football game, he's tough as nails, you know, and he's full of grit. He's a great competitor. And I think that Byron Brown just kind of inspired that football program to rally around him. And he's going to do the same thing here. So we're fired up, you know, to be, you know, together at another place and to be able to do it right here, man. I don't think you could write it up any better.
Go Brian, Jerry, and then Mike to wrap us up.
Joe on 3HourSports.com. I just wanted to ask you about Alex told us that he had a really high hit rate when it came to calling touchdown plays. Is that true? Was he exaggerating a little bit?
No, he was telling the truth. He was over 90%, I think, you know, this year. So he was right on time. There were some timely calls that will take him.
Yeah, just to follow up, how do you like the process that y'all have in play calling? He said that, you know, during a drive, it would be pretty quick and you'd be the one, but between drives, there's a lot of give and take.
Yeah.
How do you like that?
Yeah, I think that's where, man, I don't know. I've never really been on a staff, you know, when I was at Iowa State, which is, you know, my only other experience at this level of football. There's always been a lot of conversation, as much as there can be in between drives, whenever you have the time to talk about what's going on. Like, there's a lot of smart people, you know, on these coaching staffs, offense, defense, on every team around the country. The way that we've always done it, where I've been, man, we're gonna be able to try to get to what we think is the best thing, you know, to start out a drive, and then, yeah. Once we get going, it's going to go really fast, and that's going to be on my shoulders. But I'm also going to listen when I feel like I need to do that. You know, if I'm going to be convicted about, hey, we got to do this, that, or the other, then we're going to do it. And that is what it is. But, you know, if there's any kind of situation that comes up in a game where, man, KB's got a thought, Hood's got a thought, AG's got a thought, man, I'm going to listen, and we're going to try to put our kids in the best situation to go be successful. So that's the only way that I know. And it's worked out pretty good for us so far.
Jerry.
Coach Jerry over 30AO.com. When you look at the wide receivers you guys brought in from USF, you know, how do you see them contributing to the offense this fall? And in your conversation with them now, what's kind of like their goals for the season?
Man, I see them being ready to number one, as soon as they get the opportunity to go out there and practice, I see these guys as having to be leaders, number one, and being able to be an example for everybody else, because what we do is, man, there's a lot of people that do similar things, but how it's done for us, there's a lot of detail and there's a lot of time that has been invested in the guys that are here with us from South Florida. So the first expectation is these guys go out here and, you know, all these guys, and I can't say enough, just seeing them in the weight room a little bit, like, these guys are working really hard, but man, these guys that know how this offense works are going to have to lead and compete. And if those are the guys that wind up being the guys on Saturday in the fall, man, we expect them to go produce, you know, just like they did a year ago for us. And, you know, a lot of those guys were young. You know, we played true freshmen all over the place. There's two guys that played in the very first game against Boise, and that's a little bit, at least in my experience at this level, a little bit unheard of. You know, you're a little hesitant to throw one of those guys out there unless you really, really trust them, and there hasn't been that many guys in my experience that's been the case with. But we played two of them in the very first game, and there were some freshman things that happened, you know, to be expected. But then the very next week, you know, one of them's got 7 or 8 catches, you know, against Florida, you know, as a true freshman on a pretty big stage. So I think that's a credit to Coach Burns. Like, these guys came in the door, and they're pretty intelligent dudes. They learn fast. And when it got to the season, we trust them. You know, they put it on video in practice in fall camp, spring ball. Some of those guys were with us in that first spring, and man, they were the best guys. So whoever that winds up being for us, man, we're going to expect them to go be as good as they can be and to be one of the best offenses in the country.
Mike Gittins, 404 Auburn. Coach, you opened talking about Jeremiah Cobb and his importance in the run game here, but Byron Brown carried the ball 175 times last year. How do you plan to balance his role in the run game moving forward here in the SEC?
Yeah, that's I think one of the most fun parts of my job and us as an offensive staff is figuring out what we're going to look like. You know, it's we pretty much have a brand new team. You know what I mean? So that's the task at hand for us, is to figure out, man, where we make adjustments, you know, from what we've done the last 3 years at the last place to what we look like now. And I don't have that answer exactly right now, but Byron Brown, whatever offense, you know, he's in, you'd be silly not to use him and all the tools that he has. He's easily the best running quarterback that I've ever seen. It's really natural for him, and a lot of those runs aren't all the time like guaranteed that it's going to be designed for him. You know, a lot of the things that we do in our offense, man, if you take away this option and this option, all of a sudden he's got the ball, and that's part of everyday offense for us. And what he can do on his feet, you know, scrambling and extending plays that way, man, we're going to use those tools, you know, however we can. But at the end of the day, we got to keep them healthy, you know, to the best of our ability, and use them timely, and not get them worn down. But he's been one of the best running backs that we've had at South Florida, if that makes sense. However you want to slice it, he's been one of the most talented guys we've had. So from 1 week to the next, what that looked like, man, might be completely different. So we'll figure that out as we go, but I think that's part of the fun for us now, is to kind of be able to actually get into football and figure out, man, we're going to be playing in this conference, figure out what that looks like, and figure out what this running back room kind of, you know, looks like as we get through spring practice. And we got a long way to go to figure all those things out, but we're gonna use them in a run game. You know, I can assure you that, you know.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, you have a guy Byron Brown is 6'3", 235.
Yeah.
You know, he was talking about it, how tough he is. Yeah, I don't think they want him running the ball, you know, 15 times every SEC game or something. But I don't think they're going to back away from.
No.
Yeah, if you get a chance and you see it, make a play.
Yeah, yeah, that's another plus to have a kid like that, that's big, physical, can get you that extra yard, and can scramble when he needs to.
Yep.
Or maybe even design run, like he said.
Yeah, but that's the thing. He said they aren't all design runs when he takes off. So I thought some good stuff there from Joel Gordon.
Yeah, really good. I've not heard him, but very impressive. Like all these guys have been, every one of them I've heard so far, I'm very impressed with.
It's going to be a fun spring. Really is going to be to watch. Yep. I mean, with so many new players and coaches, everybody learning each other. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Again, love to hear from you. 334-321-1390 as we head into the final 20 minutes here on the Wednesday Drive. Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Coach Don Dunn here in the studio. Dan will be back in tomorrow. And then I guess he'll be gone Friday because I forgot where they're headed. Muncie? Is that where they got Ball State this weekend?
They got the interleague thing.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. They've got Ball State as the that conference matchup, that interconference matchup. So Dan will be back in tomorrow for his last show of the week. I hope you enjoyed hearing Joel Gordon. If we get a chance, we may run some DJ or some of Coach Golish a little later on, maybe Friday.
Yeah, for sure.
Might be able to do that as we will be there on the eve, and we'll know whether or not Charles Bediako's gotten the extension. I expect that extension to be granted.
Yeah, I mean,
you reckon they'll just keep putting it off until the end of the season?
Yeah, till and about, then May.
If they put it off till the middle of April, then the season will be done, championship will be done, and then they'll have the precedent of, well, he played all year, or he played for the most of the conference schedule. Right. I mean, things haven't gone so great for Alabama with Bediako in there.
No. They got a tough one tonight, even though they're home.
Yeah, they do. I mean, Alabama's got to play better than they did. Now, I think this is a better matchup for them.
Right.
Because A&M is a perimeter team that just loves to bomb, you know, Florida. Florida decided, hey, they weren't going to let they weren't going to fall into the trap. Of course, Alabama doesn't play the way Auburn does. Auburn said, look, we're gonna attack you inside and dare you to take outside shots. And Florida did. Against Alabama, Florida, but we don't need to take the outside shots. We're going to pound it inside.
Wow.
72 points in the paint.
Unbelievable.
For Florida against Alabama. Texas A&M isn't going to do that. Texas A&M, they're going to fire it up. I mean, this could be a really high-scoring ball game tonight.
Yeah, in the hundreds.
Yeah, you can guarantee you, they're going to be a lot of threes.
Yeah.
Attempted for sure tonight.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd figure Alabama at home probably give them an edge. Everybody's been waiting to see Texas A&M play the better teams in the league. Alabama right now, they're talented. There's no question about it. But they're 4-4 in conference.
Right, right.
But they still are a talented team.
And tough at home.
Yep. So we'll see. But, I mean, that's the early ball game tonight. Just two games, just two conference games. There's a lot of teams getting the midweek.
Yeah, we will be only two last night and two tonight.
Yeah, we will be at the midway point of the league for everybody after tonight. Well, as a matter of fact, Texas is past the midway point. Texas and South Carolina have played 10.
Okay,
but they're you know, among the teams that are getting the
weekly bye,
getting that midweek off. The other ball game tonight, Kentucky should. I hear people go, everything's all fine. I know you're the Kentucky guy too, Don. It's funny. All right, we're listening to some national, you know, we're listening to Sirius XM as we're driving along a little yesterday.
Yep.
And hearing some of the national folks go, well, Kentucky's got it all solved.
No.
They proved it with that big win. Their last time. Well, the time before that, Vandy absolutely just destroyed them.
By 25.
We'll see. Kentucky has one, I guess.
Up and down.
What, are they won five out of six now, I believe?
Yeah, but We'll see. I still don't trust them yet.
Well, I know a lot of Kentucky fans feel that way, but I mean the Cats are 6-3 now in conference, so they can go 7-3 and should you would.
But they
think.
Have a tough road. They got to come to Auburn. They got two games with Florida still.
Right.
They go to A&M, so they better get these at home.
Well, this one they should. They're taking on the bottom dweller of the SEC at Oklahoma at 1-8.
Which scares the heck out of me.
Yeah, so
and it's a late game, so my gosh.
Yeah, that is. So those are the only two games on the conference schedule for tonight. Saturday's going to be a fun day.
Yes,
I mean,
a lot of good games.
You've got of course the Auburn Alabama game,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, here's your lineup for Saturday. I mean, it starts off with Arkansas at Mississippi State,
mm-hmm.
Missouri's at South Carolina, but Ole Miss at Texas. Oklahoma, Vandy ought to get a win. Oklahoma, they played a few, competitive ball games. Mm-hmm. They just can't win.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got Georgia at LSU. Florida is at Texas A&M. Here's where, this week, really, really big for Bucky McMillan and Texas A&M with the game in Tuscaloosa tonight and then hosting Florida on Saturday night, and then also Saturday, one of those games for Kentucky. They host Tennessee.
Yeah, big rival game.
They've got Tennessee. They've got them at home.
Yeah.
But,
a lot of good rival games this weekend. Auburn, Alabama, Tennessee, Kentucky. Wow.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. North Carolina, Duke.
Duke, that's
which
right.
We haven't heard much about.
Carolina's better than they appeared early. Duke's really good. They're really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, like we listened to a little of that one last night on the way in.
Yeah.
And that was a blowout from it started off 13-0.
Yeah.
I don't think BC scored until like about the 15-minute mark of the first half.
Tough.
Yeah. So some great basketball on tap. Again, looks like the Bediako situation, I would think he's going to be there. And I was asked this morning on Wimp and Barry Sanderson's show, how's the reception going to be?
Mm.
I said it's going to be probably more hostile than last year's with Aiden Holloway returning because Aiden's back and Charles Bediako's played.
Right.
I mean, what do you expect? You go into your arch rival and look.
Yeah.
And the other thing is the word that today in the TRO – did you hear about this one in the TRO? Filip Jovich was one of the players mentioned saying, look, he's playing. Why shouldn't our guy be playing? There's a lot of difference in the
completely
European
different pros.
And I've heard some person, and I heard Jacob saying this, that, look, just say anybody who is pro can't play. Well, then what do you do about the – you'd have to create something. There'd have to be something. Basketball has become an international sport.
Mm-hmm.
But it is – they are not – There is not organized basketball for high school age players internationally, overseas, and in Europe. So,
right.
I mean, they can play on clubs, which would be like playing, some of those clubs, it's like playing YMCA basketball.
Yeah.
You know, rec league. You know, and then the next option is their professional leagues for young players.
Yeah.
And it's hard to expect – man, players that come from, kids that come from some of those backgrounds to turn down any money to be able to play to try to improve their game.
Mm-hmm.
And the NCAA has allowed those players. It's because they realize that is not they're not at a bigger advantage or have had better competition than high school. As a matter of fact, I was saying, think about AAU kids, the AAU circuit. Those players may not – at least as above board be getting big salaries.
Right.
But they're getting quite a bit to be able to play. They're given clothing and they got room and board and clothing.
Yeah.
And they have other things that they get as well.
Yeah. Compensation.
There's compensation. So I don't think it's as simple as anybody who signed any professional contract has to go, but I don't think you can. I don't think you can allow players who have signed with the top level, with the major leagues, the NFL or the NBA, be able to come back. I think there needs to be. Look, these players knew what they were doing when they opted to go to the NBA, and that they knew they were foregoing their eligibility. Now it's like, I'm sorry if 2 years later you go, gee, I probably shouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
There are a lot of things I've thought about that a couple of years later went, man, I shouldn't have done that.
Hindsight.
But I can't go back and start over again.
Change it. We'd like to.
No. All right. Tell you what, before we get to our final break, let's get back to the Drive hotline. And Tex, I was just about to text you. It's are you psychic?
No, I'm psychotic.
There you go. Psychic, just a couple of other letters added in there. Huh?
My boss is very difficult to live with. And so, and I'm not talking about Cindy. I'm talking about me. Business has just been crazy, so I apologize. You just call me, Bill.
I know. I'd had the phone ready to text you, and I hit call instead of send. I was going to – sorry about
that. I will tell you this. I am – so sorry to hear the passing of Philip Marshall. The few times I was able to speak with him, he was extremely nice to me. But I will also tell you, I think he's one of the fairest writers that I've read over time about sports. So it's a loss.
Oh, you're absolutely right. A big void right now. There's no question.
And so, Bill, I'm a little bit worried about you. You're trying to use common sense to discuss something that the NCAA is going to do.
Well, the NCAA, I mean, look, the NCAA has rules. The problem, Tex, is the schools that have agreed to go by those rules now are letting attorneys get involved and, come up with favorable decisions for their school. That's the thing. When you've got people that have said, all right, here are the rules we're going to abide by, and then they stop abiding by them, and it's not much the NCAA can do.
So, Bill, what happens when you let something that was a collegiate sport, not for profit by the players, is been changed to a professional sports network, and who's involved most of the time in most of the crazy things going on in Major League Baseball, the NFL, the NBA? Agents.
Yes. And it's agents and attorneys.
Most agents are attorneys, or some sort of attorney. And once you get that put together into it's seeped into the collegiate game or the collegiate sports, we've kind of lost control of it.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, I've always believed the NCAA stands for no clue at all. So, never been fond of them. So, I didn't mean to, I sound like I'm preaching, but.
No.
So, what were you going to text me about?
I need somebody's number.
Oh, okay. I thought, if you're asking me if I'll be there next Friday, yes.
Oh, that wasn't even a question in my mind.
Will my Valentine be with me? The answer is yes. Not happy about that, but she'll be with me. I need some good weather just to make her smile a little bit on Valentine's Day in Plainsman Park. So just text me that, and I'll get you the phone number.
Yeah, okay, great.
Okay. All right. Hey, Coach, I'm sorry I didn't say hello.
No problem, buddy. No problem. Thank you.
You did a great job despite having to work with Dan Peck for a couple days.
Yeah, that's tough duty, isn't it?
Yes. So, you did a great job while Bill was out doing whatever he was doing.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do. Thank you.
Hey, one day I want you to start picking out your favorite stories of guys that you coach.
Okay.
So I think that'd be a great segment to go over.
I agree with you.
Funny things about guys.
Oh, man, I got some.
Yeah, I do too.
Maybe somebody you thought was going to be really, really good. Well, that one, don't do that one.
No.
Somebody that thought was not going to be very good that became very good, and how that became.
Yeah, good. Yeah. So that's be really, that's interesting. Thank you.
All right, bud. Y'all take care.
All right, you too, Tex.
I'll get you that number in a minute, Bill.
Great. Thanks, man. All right, got to get to our final break. Back to wrap it up here on the Wednesday Drive.
At Affordable Comfort Cooling System.